What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
To you by Blogging the Boys in partnership with SB Nation. My name is Meg Murray, and I am joined, as always, by Paul Stewart. How's it going, Paul?
Not too bad, not too bad. How's yourself?
Oh, you know, the dog watching never ends over here. I still have David Hellman's dog, and my parents' dog is here for a week, so I have three dogs. So if you see me walking around Dallas, walking three dogs at once, buy me a shot.
Oh man, you know what that slightly got is going to happen. People were like, "Oh, Meg, shot."
I'm fine with that. Yeah, I will likely need it.
Yeah, not to mention you actually did have four dogs at one point as well.
Yeah, Kelsey's dog was here. Yeah, so I apologize if there's any roughhousing in the background, but yeah, Kelsey's dog was here too. So that one's a little puppy. So yes. Lots of dog watching.
Yeah. So if anyone's not seen the photo that Meg put up on her Instagram, she's got all four of them just looking at her, looking so all cute and innocent. So go and check it out, folks.
Yeah, I will. I'll even repost it or something tomorrow, so it doesn't get lost after the 24 hours is up.
Oh, yeah. So it was on the story, wasn't it? Yeah, I remember.
Yep. How's everything going over there in Scotland?
Well, you're not going to believe it, but it's absolutely scorching over here. Record temperatures in the UK. We're actually having a bit of a drought down in England. Oh. All the reservoirs are drying up and stuff like that. So, and yeah, it's pretty mad. So I think in England, like more particularly like down in south of London and stuff like that, you're talking about in Fahrenheit, about in the high 90s.
So
for us, we're getting like the high 80s, low 90s here in Scotland, and that's pretty warm. So
yeah,
I think that's how it kind of works. So I can't remember what it is in Fahrenheit to Celsius. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I'm absolutely terrible at that. So the fact that you even had a gauge of what you thought it was, impressive.
I'm trying to adjust myself to American side of things and just make sure I'm on so I can be in sync with everybody, you know.
We had to make it really difficult on everyone and have our own systems of measurement, so you know, because we're just so special.
So special.
We can't do what everyone else in the world does. We just have to make our own.
I know. And it's going to be very interesting to see what the temperatures are going to be like in Greece in 2 weeks. So obviously I'll be reporting from there in 2 weeks' time. So I can't even imagine what the heat is going to be like over there. So pray for Paul.
Hashtag pray for Paul, everybody. Well, okay. So we have some things to chat about. We had a scrimmage on Thursday against the Denver Broncos. And they are slowly starting to become a team I hate.
Yeah, I think the Broncos are now the new, like, they'll never be the Eagles, but they're slowly becoming that. They're becoming this multimedia mogul. Now they've got Russell Wilson's, but they're actually stealing players all the way from us. Like, obviously, one player I'm not willing to mention, but you get the idea, ladies and gentlemen. You get the idea. We don't want to talk about it anymore because it still puts a bit of salt in the wound.
Well, we will bring it up at some point simply because it is relevant to the scrimmage from Thursday. But Yeah. It started at that game last year. And I don't know if I'll get over the embarrassment from that game. And then just the like utter savagery that we were met with by their fans.
I'll tell you what though, mate, I'm so glad I did not actually manage to make, well, I didn't manage to make attend that game due to the COVID protocols back then, because the day after that game, that's when the COVID international flights were lifted. So that was the only day I could fly out, was the day after. So, and I was just like, God, and everyone wanted me to go to the Broncos game because it was like everyone was going to it. So, and I'm just so glad I didn't actually go, because after watching it, I was just utterly embarrassed.
You did not miss anything. In fact, like we were being obnoxious. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Like before the game, just one of my friends was a Broncos fan. We're like, sorry, you have to lose today. Like, catch this L, whatever. And then we walk out and I was like, I can't even look at you.
Yeah, it was just one of those ones, like the only good part was you're actually with your friends having a beer. Probably that's probably the only good thing you really say about the whole being at the game.
Yeah,
just having it, talk about something else about the game is probably a more plus sign.
Yeah, well, and that game got chippy just like this practice did. Like, I mean, if you remember, we were obviously getting very frustrated during the game, and you know, getting penalized, pushing people around, all that good stuff. That kind of, I feel like that energy carried over into the scrimmage on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, after seeing some of the footage from the scrimmage and that, like one part in particular which kind of got things starting a bit chippy was the Bradley Chubb and Ezekiel Elliott collision. And fair play to see, he got right back up and kept moving. But that was like for a scrimmage hit, like I was like, jeez. Like, not,
yeah.
Like,
and then Denver got rolled over on two. So everyone cleared the bench for that.
Yeah, which is absolutely stupid, because during scrimmage, you're not supposed to actually hit the quarterback or get in, like touch the quarterback, essentially. That's the golden rule during scrimmage. Like, it's all right when you're doing it during a game, but during scrimmage, no, that's the golden rule. You don't hit your quarterback.
Doesn't matter. I don't blame them for clearing the bench for that one.
Yeah, so that is just absolutely red flags all over the place. If someone touched my quarterback during a scrimmage, you would expect to see me throw my gloves off and start throwing punches. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we'll talk about some takeaways from scrimmage, and then just kind of like how we think maybe this game will make us feel better. Maybe. Or maybe it won't. What our predictions are for that. So, okay. So I think the most glaring issue was the O-line.
Yeah. There's still a lot of question marks. Like, I don't know if it's just down, like, and this is one thing that I've said this in multiple shows, not just on Foot VIV Blog and the Boys or UK Cowboys, but just being on special guests and other shows as well. If there's one thing I'm do still question is Joe Philbin's credibility as a O-line coach. Like, I don't think his style of coaching is really suitable for the type of offense that we need. And it's not, I don't know what it is. We seem to be very lackluster in terms of controlled aggression. We're not that physical enough, and we seem to be just, yeah, I don't worry, I hear the toys as well. But yeah, it's just such a weird one where, like, Terrence Steele just, he did not have a good scrimmage at all, Terrence Steele, from the reports are saying. And our the Denver defensive line were just having a field day, so they were.
Yeah, it was rough to watch. I feel like that's where, you know, I think Terrence Steele got bullied and like knocked over, and then like they started getting chippy again. And that's when everyone got all mad about Randy Gregory walking out there. From what I've heard, oh my gosh, hold on.
Yeah. Apologies, everyone. As you may hear, Meg's dog is going crazy with a dog toy.
yeah, I took it. It is an ice cream sandwich squeaky toy. anyways, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, that's when it kind of got chippy. And then that's when the one that I've seen the most about, like, people getting all angry about Randy Gregory walking out on the field and, like, getting chippy. Because if you'll recall, he's on PUP. Yep. With a shoulder injury. So he was not practicing. But like from what I've heard from the sidelines, everyone was saying that it was sometimes playful and sometimes it was not. So
yeah, I think Grady will obviously have his boys within the Cowboys, and he'll have guys in the team he doesn't have a particular fondness with.
Right.
Probably particular probably against the O-line, no doubt, because he's always up against like Zach Martin and Tyron Smith on a day-to-day basis during like training and training camp and every day going through coaches film, like whatever and that. So I could see like you might get a wee bit chippy about that because
I mean, I think ultimately it comes down to he felt disrespected by the front office. Whether you agree with that or not, that's probably just how he feels. And by probably, I mean, that is how he feels. But like, then he wanted to be at the scrimmage, you know, he wanted to be at this practice. So yeah. He just kind of inserted himself into the fold a couple times. That rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. I think it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, about like the front office, as much as I hate to agree, I do kind of agree with Gregory because our front office had every opportunity to kind of get him signed back in. So, and they did nothing till the very last minute and just basically just whacked in the deal. And Gregory's like, you know what? It's like, nah, I'm just going to move on. So I can understand though, there'll be that little bit of bitterness. Obviously,
yeah, I mean, Dak was asked about it and said that he just missed us. It's fine.
Yeah. That's a nice wee spin from Dak, I have to admit. Yeah. Like, if that's one thing that is really good, that is how to talk to the media. Like, yeah. You know, it's like to turn a negative into a positive in terms of how to make things go towards for the Cowboys. Is like, oh yeah, he just missed us.
Quarterback right there.
Yeah, that's our QB. I can't even talk. Oh my god,
it's okay. We all got distracted by the squeaky toys.
Yeah.
But I bring that up to say, just to point out, obviously we said the O-line we know was struggling yesterday. That also carried over into the run game, which I think it was probably the most, obviously the O-line was the most glaring issue, but I feel like that's the thing I'm personally most worried about is the fact that they're having a really hard time establishing a run when you're getting pushed around on O-line. Granted, I know that that's a patchwork O-line, but don't be surprised when you have something happen exactly like that with, like, because there's going to be guys that are going to miss games, Tyron Smith, and, you know, potentially others. So, like, I know that's a patchwork O-line, and I know that this is a practice, but that's just not going to cut it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree because I keep seeing this. It's like people can throw the blame on Zeke or Tony Pollard as much as they want, but they're missing the main fundamental part. If the running back cannot get beyond the line of scrimmage, then that's on the offensive line. Like, that's a fact.
Yeah.
If the O-line are not creating those gaps for the running back to move upfield, it's on the O-line. They're not doing their job properly. They're not making the blocks. They're not getting themselves positioned correctly. They're not standing their ground. They're getting forced back behind the line of scrimmage. So something, and this could be down to like my original point, it's either a coaching problem or it's a confidence problem from the players in that O-line who don't really trust how the scheme works or what they're being taught. Like that's the seems to be the main catalyst of what is causing this problem right now. I mean, in terms of pass blocking and stuff like for the passing game, I mean, we're probably right up there that we just need to stop doing the holding calls more than anything. And that's probably the main concern, is like, stop giving up penalties. And so far, this is what I'm really intrigued about for this game against the Broncos, is trying to eliminate holding calls or offsides, all these silly mistakes. If we can just even just nail that, that might actually build that little bit of confidence in our O-line to actually maybe progress going forward and build that run game. So it's just one of those ones we just need to wait and see. But the way how things stand right now, it's not very promising right now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, going into, we keep saying tomorrow, but when this comes out, it'll be the day of. When it comes to this game, you know, there's really not that much at stake here, really. It's just like, get your guys home healthy and get a good like workout practice on camera in front of an audience or whatever.
Put them in the pressure cooker, essentially. You want to put them in there out there with the fans and a fan environment in a real game situation.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Especially some of these undrafted players, the ones that are out there to make a big name for themselves, like your Marquise Bells, or there was an undrafted free agent. He's making some good waves during training camp. Malik Davis, the running back, who could potentially be running back number three, number four, depending how we would do with the roster, and all these other wide receivers. Like we're seeing like TJ Vasher, like he's stepping up. Noah Brown's having an amazing camp. Is he going to be that wide receiver number three? Or like, there's just so many questions regards to, this is the time to really step up and show your worth in a proper game environment with the fans, with the proper officials, with the TV screens on you. Go out there and perform.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/Vox. That's klaviyo.com/Vox.
Yeah, and so there's not a whole lot, you know, I'm not really necessarily looking like, did we beat them at this like preseason game? It's going to be stuff like you mentioned, like, are they able to not get penalized every 2 seconds? Mm-hmm. Especially on O-line.
It's trying to find players that are actually going to be part of your second string, your third string, that's going to add contribution to the team. Like, we all know that Zeke and Parler are your guarantees, Dak's your QB, like D-Law, like, you all know, like, it's guaranteed roster spots, but it's just those spaces left in the 53-man roster that's going to be like, okay, it's up for grabs here. Who wants it? Come and show me what you got. So all these players that we're trying to briefly mention and stuff like that, like, they've got everything to play for. Like for example, even Tristan Hill is in the final year of his contract. Like, is he gonna be a guy who's gonna get cut in his final year of his contract? Possibly. because
because
you've got your John Ridgeway, who's a rookie, he's a cheaper option. He's making some waves, even though during the scrimmage he did pick up a knock.
Yeah,
but he did walk off. But they reckon he might be suited up for the game. So fingers crossed for that, because I would love to see him in action, like in a real game situation. We've not heard so much about Quinton Bohanna and the defensive tackle as well. So it's been quite. So there's a lot of questions in the defensive line front in terms of the tackle, the center point, like the defensive tackle position. So there's also the question of Sam Williams, defensive end. It's like, how far has he progressed under the coaching of Adam Dirt and Dan Quinn?
Yeah.
So I almost forgot bloody Dan Quinn, so I do apologize.
How dare you?
Had a wee brain fart there. So so there's just so many things I'm very intrigued to see on Saturday. I'm not really caring if we win or lose. I just want to see the guys are going to make this team, or looking to try and make this team. Like, who is hungry for it? Who's dying? Who's out there to make a play? Who's trying to make the hits? Who's trying to make the extra yards after contact? All that type of stuff.
What would you consider, like, and again, I'm not talking about like who has more points and who at the end of this game. I'm talking about like, what would you consider a win tomorrow? Today, whatever.
Doesn't matter what points on the board, but if we can actually get the ball moving from the running, but like if we can establish the run game to a decent amount of yardage during the game, then it's a success. Like, if we can get it like above like 120 yards overall, like that's a good stepping stone to build from that. From, because don't, bear in mind our starting O line that might not necessarily take the field. So it'd be interesting to see what our backups do, if they can do that against like a more, like some of the starters might start for Denver and the defensive line because they want to get out there and actually hit something. Because, you know, as a defensive mentality, they, like, you know what Parsons is like. He wants to be on the field 24/7.
Right.
He wants
to, he's going to be like, don't pick me up.
Yeah, he wants to hit something, but from, it'll be the same on the Denver's defensive side. So they'll want to go on as much, get as many reps as they can. Doesn't matter if they're a starter or not. So, yeah, it'll be very interesting as well. And if we can actually maybe get a couple of takeaways from our defense as well, I think that would be a bit of a win.
That'd be fun.
Like, so end of the day, it's not about the result. Bear in mind and remember this, folks, is back, I think it was back in 2016, the year that Dak and Zeke got drafted. We were 0-4 in our preseason games and we went to be 12-4 in the season and we got to the playoffs that year. So make that if you will. So bear in mind, even though preseason is important, but the result is not that important.
Right. I think the only time I ever hear about like the results during a preseason game, like at least in my bubble of my world, is whenever we play the Houston Texans in preseason, because everyone is like, there's a Houston-Dallas rivalry. Now we're playing in season, so that should be fun. Especially for us, because they are stinky.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not, like, their new helmet design is absolutely even more stinky.
Truly, truly atrocious. Okay. So let's see. What I'm thinking of as a win, if we walk away with no injuries, I mean, we might as well have scored 100 points, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most important thing as well. So if we can come up with no injuries, limit the penalties,
yeah,
get some takeaways and put up some yards and maybe some points in the board. Like, I'm more concerned about getting the yards up to see if we can actually get the offense moving. Because if you, like, we can use special teams to kind of, and special teams as well, we can't forget about them, but in terms of the least yardage, if we can get the teams to put in some yards from right receivers and from rushing yards, then great. That means we do have something there, and then how we can translate that into putting that on points on the board going forward. So I think it's, I'm thinking about more baby steps more than anything right now.
I completely 100% agree with you. I think going into this game expecting, you know, any sort of fireworks is just setting yourself up for failure. I know I get called out all the time for my pessimistic outlook on this season. I warned you guys about this after we lost the 49ers. I don't know why we're surprised. There are going to be things like if you focus on the small wins tomorrow, today, Saturday, then I think that you may come away with a better outlook than if you just focus on, you know, the score on the screen. And if you're getting to watch Dak and CD, because you're not going to for a while.
Yeah. I was trying to ask you a question and I completely forgot what I was going to ask there. It's just, it'll come back to me. It was, oh God. Anyway, it'll come back to me.
Okay. Well, okay. So I guess the last thing I wanted to talk about was just, I want to get your thoughts just quickly, I feel like, on the kicking situation.
Yeah.
Because we did talk about it last time.
And I made a tweet about it as well. And unfortunately, my tweet became reality. If you could see my face right now, it's beyond disappointing. Like, and I think the whole of Cowboys Nation are really knocked off of how poor our selection pool for kickers are right now in terms of how our front, again, it's a dig at the front office not addressing the need for special teams, because that was a issue we had last year of losing games by a marginal couple of points, i.e. Thanksgiving, i.e. Tampa Bay season opener. There was,
you could say, Kansas City, the Raiders, 49ers.
The list goes on. Yeah, there was too many last year. It all came down to where our kicker was really needed, and unfortunately it just never materialized it into a win. And we're bringing back, and God forgive me for saying his name, Brett Maher. Yep. So,
good old Brett.
Don't get me wrong, he can probably hit a 65-yard field goal no problem. But when it comes into within range, a 45 to a 50, or even a bloody 35-yard field goal, you're better actually just turning your back away and actually expect it just to say, may as well just give the ball back to them. I know it sounds harsh, but apparently he's from some sources that out there, this is, he's newly improved. I'm sorry, but I will be happy to eat that piece of humble pie until I actually see that for myself. Thank you very much.
Are you kind of surprised that they just cut their losses with Garibay so quickly?
No, I'm not. In a way, it's down to Dallas's fault as well. Bear in mind, during the OTAs and during the hit practices back in Frisco, where they didn't have any special teams practice, they didn't do any kicking pretty much during that whole time. So it's, in a way, I kind of feel bad for Garibay for not getting as much he would have done during OTAs and rookie minicamp and stuff like that. So it's a shame, but your main goal is to get the ball between the goalposts. That's your main goal. And it was just so inconsistent. It got really embarrassing. Even Mickey Spagnuolo during live broadcasting and also Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com were making off-the-cuff comments during the live stream saying, that was terrible. That was awful. And that said it all. When you're getting the top guys who are staff writers for DallasCowboys.com making comments like that, watching it live in person, seeing it like that, then you know it's not good.
Yeah. Well, we will see what they decide is the answer, whether that is actually the answer or not. We will also see about that. So just more things that we get to watch during the preseason. But, you know, football's back, so everyone smile.
I just remembered what I was going to ask you.
Oh.
Right. So even though we were talking about like what positives we'll take from the Cowboys, despite what the result is, how would you feel like if the Cowboys were to, like, say, for example, absolutely dominate from both ends to the park, like a sheer dominating fashion? Like, and I'm talking about, like, it was literally a blowout. Like, I'm talking about like 45-10 or something like that, okay, as an example, right? How would you feel with that? Would you be like excited or be like, it's like, okay, like, I just don't want to get my hopes up. Like, I want to see what, if we can repeat that maybe against another team with the backups and stuff like that. Like, what do you think?
Well, one, I would be absolutely floored.
Yeah, I think we all would.
Because that might be one of the last things that I expect to see.
Yeah, and that's why I'm asking it, because it is the least expecting thing to do. So, So, yeah.
I don't think that I will necessarily change my outlook, which is overwhelmingly skeptical. But I maybe will be less harsh on the O-line. I'll think about it.
Yeah, like I'm kind of thinking, my mindset is just like, how bad, if we were to win such a dominating fashion, how bad is there as Denver's backups? That's my main thing. So you know, like, fans out there, they'll be like, oh man, we just won 45-10 in our first preseason game, where despite everything, we're going to win a Super Bowl. Like, you know what some of our fans are like. We can get way too ahead of ourselves.
I say that every year. I talk myself into it. I buy, like, sage to make sure my jersey rids itself of its demons. But I will not be saying that this year. And maybe that's a reverse jinx.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the same boat. I try, if I feel confident, I will say it. I think we're Super Bowl contenders, but I don't feel it this year. But there is
I'm
going to be
always too overconfident.
There is going to be fans that are going to say it regardless. Like, if we win, like, say, like 45-10 against the Broncos, but yeah, people will not look and think about, okay, it was our backups against their backups. How good are Denver's backups in terms of their offense and defense compared to our offense and defense? It's like, it could be two different teams altogether compared to the first strings. Like, their first string team could beat ours, but our backups could probably beat their backups. So people need to kind of take that in perspective. So it's one thing that not many people kind of tend to think about. They just think about the result, thinking, oh yes, we're going to win. Oh dear. Meg's chair, and I had to go on mute for a wee second there. So a little bit of pandemonium with the dogs. One wee moment. And
all right, I don't know what they were barking at because they were upstairs. So, anyways, sorry about that if that scared anyone. I will go ahead.
I can just imagine this now. People listen to our show on like in the car, and next thing you hear is a dog barking. They'll be like, "What the hell was that?"
She has a deep one, and she scared me, I won't lie. Anyways, well, okay. So if you guys are listening to this, you are about to watch the game. I hope we rock it. Maybe we'll get a 45-10, and I will be nicer. But
yeah.
Until then.
Yeah, guys, and also give us your comments. What do you guys think? Who's going to be our guys to watch out for during the game? We like to hear your comments. everything. Just get them through, like, who you think is going to stand out on offense, who's going to stand out in defense, and what you think is going to be the takeaways of the game.
Yes. And where can everyone find you next week? Are you doing any round tables? Are we on UK Cowboys? What's the dealio?
Round table, I don't think I'm on this week. I think I'm on the week before I fly out to Greece. So that's not this week coming, but
he's
the following
rubbing
that
week. Into us. Just
yeah, I just like to rub it in, you know. But yeah, I'll be on my usual UK Cowboys every Thursday. I'll be doing that. We have I think we've got a couple of special guests coming up on that soon. But Mike's in charge with all that, so I let him deal with all that.
Well, that's good. Where can everyone follow you?
Yeah, so guys, you can follow me at IMPStu on Instagram and Twitter. And how about yourself, Meg?
At Meg Murray with 4 R's on Instagram and Twitter. We are so close to football.
Football is here. And I'm all excited. Right,
we'll see y'all next week.
So have a great one, guys.